Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Messages of Light. I am your host, Amanda Dowell. Every Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, we have a very special guest today, Maria Toso. She is from my Sixth Sensory class that I took back in November, and I'm so excited to have her because she is just like a sister to me, and she's so cool. She has a background in yoga. And she grew up in Copenhagen, Denmark, and she experienced lots of different things like intuition and knowing and just making simple life changes through daily practice. She was able to find her way, and she added this sixth sensory training onto it, which is really cool. So she's out of Minnesota, and we just happened to team up and meet each other, and when I met her, I just really instantly connected and felt like I knew her, like she was part of my soul energy group, which is really cool because last week I didn't have a show. I went in to look at some corporate America job things, and it turned out that the lady that I was meeting with was into chakras and yoga too. So I was really excited to have that experience since I couldn't be here last week and host this amazing show that I love. So back to Maria. Maria was formerly trained in writing and communication at Copenhagen Business College in Denmark, and she's a meditation instructor and a Yoga Alliance certified teacher of Vinyasa yoga and yoga, which is really exciting. We actually did yin yoga last Friday in our practice, which was amazing for my shoulder that actually was giving me a hard time. So you can find Maria at mariatoso.com. That's her website, mariatoso.com. Now I'm going to bring Maria live and let her talk a little bit more about herself, and then later on we'll take some callers. Welcome to the show, Maria.
Hi, Amanda. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. We're going through some thunderstorms here in Minnesota, so you might have a little noise in the background. Mm-hmm.
It's always good and cleansing when you have rain coming in, and I can only imagine how fun that would be teaching a yoga class while it's raining.
There is something special about that, and I do think that the weather tends to reflect our moods in some way. That becomes almost a collective experience wherever you're at, what the weather is up to. We can't completely not be affected by whatever the weather is doing, and usually if we just go with the flow of that, there's something to be gained. And for me, a day like today feels like a little more introverted, a little more quiet, and I'm about to go in and teach right after this show, and the practice that we do will reflect that, so we can tune in to what's going on around us rather than try to be separate from it.
That's very exciting, because when you tune in to being a part of that, it's really something quite special.
Right, and I think more and more we become more aware of how everything around us tends to reflect a part of us. I did a yoga workshop this weekend with a beautiful teacher from California, actually, and it was very, very intense. We did a total of 6.5 hours of yoga over 2 days, which is a lot. And afterwards, I walked around a lake near my house, and I did it alone, and that was on purpose because I wanted to just feel myself in this body that had been practicing so rigorously all weekend. And there was just this expanded feeling and this feeling of communing with trees and bushes around me. So even though it's the lake in the city, there's plenty of park space around there. Wow, did you hear that? I just had a gigantic thunder over my head.
I did.
That almost felt like a confirmation.
They're really telling you something.
Yes, it really felt like when I would walk by a beautiful tree just on the verge of coming into its full bloom, because our spring is a little late here in Minnesota, that there was just this acknowledgement of me and me acknowledging the energy of the tree and almost a sense of communing, but also just a mutual acknowledgement. It's very hard to explain, and I've only had that happen a few times to that degree, and it tends to happen when I'm alone. And that's, you know, of course, a little sad if you can't do that with other people. You probably could if you were quiet enough and dropped into that vibration, but that usual chit-chat vibration that I'm in when I walk around a lake with a friend kind of shuts that down a little bit. So you just have to get to know in yourself, what does it take for you to get into a higher state of vibration where you can start perceiving a little more than your everyday sort of three-dimensional world. And that's probably not going to be exactly the same for every person, but just paying attention and noticing, you know, what shuts that down and what heightens that awareness of what is going on around you. When can you be really observant, and when are you not noticing what's really going on around you?
Mm-hmm. And I think that it takes being quiet in different ways for each person, you know, very much like, you know, going into a yoga practice is very sacred. You know, I learned something this week from a friend of mine. She takes ritualistic time out, you know, in the bathroom. Some people do in the bathtub, mm-hmm. some people do in the shower to, you mm-hmm. know, cleanse the body, to, you know, make things right with yourself and to feel more clear. You know, some people will get in there with essential oils and smells, and then you mm-hmm. come out and you feel rejuvenated. I feel like that also happens when I do yoga as well. I feel like, wow, there's my time that I'm really tuning in and listening, you know. And then, you know, I had a shoulder thing happen, and it was funny because I sat back and I thought, oh, where did that come from? Did I sleep on that wrong, or did I take on something? And I had a good friend of mine say, yeah, it was something that you were trying to energetically heal and you took on residue. And I thought, wow, that's pretty mm-hmm. interesting.
Right. I do think our bodies are talking to us all the time, and this is one of the beautiful things about being in a yoga class and being away from your devices and your emails and your texts, and be quiet enough and be present enough in the body to really feel what's going on. And I think that so much disease and dis-ease, you know, any kind of tension in the mind and tension in the body, sometimes can go by unnoticed because it's so busy and so noisy around us. But if we create a regular quiet time of some sort, then we can't ignore what the body is trying to tell us. And just about everything that goes on around us shows up in the body. The body really is like a big sponge just taking it all in. And it can be so subtle. It can be a tone of voice from somebody that shows up as two little butterflies in your tummy. And maybe you just quickly ignore that, or maybe you can take even 10 seconds to be like, wow, something in that voice and the way that was said didn't feel good or felt exciting, and just acknowledge that. Even if you're not going to interpret it to the fullest extent every time, just know that your body is like, in many ways, like a little sensitive kid that will communicate to you on many levels, whether it's the environment of other people's energies, the energy of food, the energy of environments. Do I feel good in a cubicle without any kind of natural light coming in? And am I trying to numb that feeling of not being right in the space for 8 hours a day? Or, you know, whatever that is, it's going to be different for different people what that level of sensitivity is. But I would say that everybody is far more sensitive than we give ourselves permission to be. And I think the yoga practice for me has a lot to do with allowing that sensitivity to come out and be heard. And then little adjustments can be made, and they're going to take you in a better direction, because you just won't want to be with that person that tends to always make you feel in this way, or you don't want to go to that particular, you know, event that makes you feel in another way that maybe everybody else likes, but you for some reason don't. Well, then you get to not do that.
Absolutely. And you can pick that up, you know, if you just listen to your body and you work with that. Amazing things happen when you start really tuning into your body and what it says. And sometimes you can even tune in for yourself. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you can tune in, how come I can't tune in? And I'm thinking, we all can tune in.
Yes, and I think that's such an important point to make, and it can be a little tempting for people with a heightened intuition to make themselves special, and, you know, so that people will come to them. I think that it's a beautiful thing when you articulate it just the way you did. No, this is a human capacity that is part of being human. You can't not be aware of your divine nature and your intuitive capacities to absorb information in the space around you and That's just a matter of creating the right circumstances. So in many ways, when I teach my classes, I am more than anything trying to invoke and call upon each student's own inner teacher, because each human being is a diamond. You know, they couldn't even walk the earth if they didn't have that diamond light in the heart. And that's the whole point of any spiritual practice to me, whatever you call it, is for each person to come a little deeper into that, dropping somewhat out of the intellect and the thinking process. And one of Sonia Choquette's exercises, and that's where you and I met, so you'll probably have this point of reference too. One of the exercises I love that she has suggested to many of her students is you put your hand on your heart, allow your energy to really drop into the heart, feel really present in the heart. And then just start saying out loud, my heart says, and then just go. And in the beginning, it might feel awkward to speak out loud if you're alone, but you just do it anyway. And in the beginning, you might think, well, I'm making it up and I'm saying what I want to hear. But at some point, when you sit with it for a little while, things are just going to start coming. And I did that this very morning during my meditation. And one thing that kept coming, and it truly didn't feel like it came from my own intellect, was there's so much yet to be discovered. And I don't really know what that means. I mean, maybe it literally means there's just so much more to be discovered, but it was like almost every fifth time I said my heart says, it was like there's so much yet to be discovered. And that's just going to sit with me a little bit, you know, and it'll show itself what that means. And sometimes it's more literal than that. So that's a really good exercise. The other exercise that she often has precede that exercise is first you get all the human anxieties out of the way. So you might say, so sort of tuning into your smaller self, if you will, and just acknowledge your human self and say, I'm afraid to be embarrassed, I'm afraid to be alone, I'm afraid to not have enough money, I'm afraid to get sick, I'm afraid that something will happen to my loved ones, whatever that is. And, you know, that list is probably fairly similar to all of us. You know, the one fear might be a little heightened in one person, but
yeah,
just
we
to
all
get those out of the way.
Least, yeah, well, what I found out being there, because I was thinking, wow, I wonder if anybody else has these. It ended up that half the class had, you know, the same things one of the other ones had, or we had, or it was similar.
Yes. And I often think there's themes in groups as well. I so often feel in my classes that I will have sort of a theme in my own spiritual life that I'll speak to and address in some way, and I'll have students come up and tell me, wow, I felt like you just spoke directly to me. And it just, you know, it just brings a smile to my lips, because it just shows me that we really are all brothers and sisters, and there's this energetic vibrational level we're at, and we'll sort of congregate with the people that are working on the same issues on some level, and that the teaching is sort of in a figure eight shape, you might say, between, you know, sort of that infinity symbol between every person. So even when I go and teach people that are living in deep poverty and have been in jail and have been in gangs and have gun wounds and all these things, when I teach that population, there's still that feeling of their bright light shining into me and teaching me something, igniting a light in me that shines a bright light into them and teaches them something. So there's always this exchange. And I think that's the beautiful thing about teaching and what makes it fresh and what feeds me, that I really don't ever feel like I have to be any kind of authority on any subject. I just have to show up and be present to what is going to happen.
Yes. And you have to tell your body that no matter what happens, you know, we're ready for what happens. We're ready for that next step.
Yes. And that the guidance.
Yeah, a lot of people say, well, what if that next step is scary? What if that next step, you know, like you were talking about, do you prepare your body? Well, you know, my heart says this, and you know, in the ending, it's going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's no doubt about it that growth sometimes means we have to step out of our comfort zone. But that's, we can only step into a zone that's where part of us has already gone. So it's like part of us has already prepared a little house for us in the zone of discomfort, if you know what I mean. It's not going to be so completely out of your league that you have nothing to call upon. It you know, it's like once you step in there, it's like, oh, part of me knows this. And then you project yourself a little further into, you know, the next level of growth, and then, you know, the heavier part of your vibration, the part of you that is a little bit more stuck in fear or what have you, has to come along and, you know, might be dragging his heels or heels. But once you get there, it's, for me at least, I always feel like there is part of me that already knows that place. And that,
absolutely.
And I think to have that awareness, you really need that stillness, because you have to start really reflecting back on things as well. We always talk about being in the present moment, which is, of course, where you need to spend most of your time. But to reflect back over a day, for example, and really see, okay, how did God or spirit or whatever your name for the almighty loving power is show up in my life today? Where did I get challenged, and how did I manage that? Or how did a sense of someone having great compassion or empathy or just helping me for no reason whatsoever show up, so that you can start being aware of how supported you are in every minute, and you can step a little bit out of the sensation of being all alone. And that is part of the human condition, is this feeling that we're cut off and alone. So that has to be consciously remedied all the time by just saying, you know, that it isn't true. I'm never alone. And that's not just words, because if you start going over your day, or even over the last couple of hours of your day, hey, how cool, look at that. You can find these little miracles. There's really no day in your life where you can't look back and see some little sparks of grace in your life. And then once you've done that for a while, you might even notice that you see the grace in action when it's happening. So you won't maybe have to sit and, you know, rehash your day to discover those places. You might in the moment be like, wow, it's right here, right now, right?
Absolutely. That's beautiful. And it's really true, because a lot of us do feel alone. And I think that everybody can resonate with what you just said there that's listening. And, you know, we have some great callers that have their hands up here that want to ask you questions too. But I think that, you know, that's a really important piece to remember, because sometimes in just your lowest moments, you can really know that you're not alone.
Right.
So that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, that when you are taking a little dive into that dark place where you feel alone, that's when you get to exercise your sort of the energetic muscle that focuses on the little dot of light, and from there expands it back out to illuminate your space again. And I think you're going to drop into a sense of despair probably many times, so that you can become better and faster at dispelling the despair with your own inner light. And that can be exasperating. Like, if I know God is always around me, then how can I still fall into a place of feeling that I'm alone? Well, maybe you don't spend as much time in that despair over time. And maybe when you get really good at finding that light, you can also assure others that that light is there, because you don't just believe it or have faith in it, you know it. And I think that that's what's happening so many times when I meet people that really have that solid knowing of this light. So often, if not always, they have been in a really hard place in their life where they really thought they were all alone and unloved, and, you know, the stories change, but they're usually really not pleasant. And but maybe that is what it takes to feel completely forsaken.
Absolutely. And sometimes that's, you know, how you learn and evolve and you grow from your lessons, is being in that spot and then seeing what it is going to take to shift from one to the next, because, you know, then you help other people along the way while you're going through that. I've always found that to be true.
Absolutely, and I think that's exactly what's happening, is that, you know, I might feel not in despair today, and you might, and I will reflect your own light back to you and show you how God loves you, and the next day the roles will be reversed. It will be me that sinks into a place of despair and you that will reflect my light back to me. And I think that's what we're meant to do for each other. I do not think we're meant to do this alone. In fact, I doubt that we can. I really think that we're two and more present. That's where that light can really be sparked in one another. And we might also consider all the times that someone has done that for us and how fairly easy it is to do that for someone else. You know, a
Absolutely.
Kind word acknowledging someone, you know, when you see something truly beautiful or some beautiful effort being made. You know, someone wrote on Facebook, a friend of mine in Texas, she wrote that her neighbor, teenage neighbor, that they don't have a relationship with that family, but the teenage neighbor was always playing piano and violin, and it was so beautiful that she would always go sit on a porch and just listen. And she wrote, one of these days I'm going to have to go over and tell her how beautiful her music is. And I wrote, go tell her. You know, what if we always just told the other when we notice that beauty, that light shining? And it does. It can't not, you know, if we were just to always try to reflect that back to each other. And we can't demand that of other people, but we can maybe demand it of ourselves. To say, I'm gonna look for that light in the other. When we say in yoga namaste, we say that the teacher and light in me acknowledges and sees the teacher and light in you. Well, what does that mean in action to truly see and acknowledge the light in the other? How do you do that? I think in a very quiet way, without saying or doing anything, you can hold this highest light in the other. But I think it can also be an action and a word of really encouraging and just noticing. You know, so many people put out so much effort in the world and feel unappreciated.
Yeah, and it's all about looking at the blessings that you have around you when you're in that. You know, people can say all the time, well, I'm unappreciated, I don't feel right. But then in the ending, really, you are more appreciated if you just look around and see what's really there and grasp that.
Yes.
And I think we have to remember that. That's so important right now for people to say, well, you know, nobody's really acknowledging me and I did all this stuff. Well, if you look a little closer, and it really takes some investigating, it really takes some looking, you might be surprised.
Right. And you might not be acknowledged and appreciated out loud by a certain person that you know you have really poured yourself into. You may or may not. Of course, the reason for shining your light on someone else shouldn't be acknowledgement. And yet again, we're all human, and I think we all need to hear that. So I think we can not demand it of other people, but we can demand it of ourselves. So the people that do, have been those milestones for us, for example. I listened to an interview recently on the radio about these people that had, you know, sort of accomplished big things in their lives. And the question was, what were those turning points? And more importantly, who were the people that said something important along the way that just always stuck with you? And one gentleman, and I forget who he was, to be honest with you, but he was saying how his dad always told him to look at this one small tree on the boulevard and say, you know, this tree is smaller than the others. It's going to have to fight harder to grow tall, but that will make it a stronger tree eventually. And he was a small kid, you know, as a child. So just those little pearls of wisdom that we sow in each other, we can all write a list of people that have done special things for us and inspired us in a special way. And we can give thanks for that, right? We talked about that on the last show too, the power of gratitude.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Still get bigger and bigger and bigger as you go along. And, you know, the funny thing is people say, oh, I wish I had your job. I wish I could do that. I wish I could just be as intuitive as you are and all of that. And I tell them, you know, it takes a team to be intuitive, and that's everybody. We're all intuitive. It takes every single person. And what I tell people that come and say, oh, you know, I just don't know anything, or my brain is in the way. Not really, because it takes a team. You know, it takes people who want to know something, and then they teach you something, and you teach them something. It's like we're working in pods in a team, like you have your yoga class and everybody participates and they're doing their poses. And it's just so magnificent and beautiful what each person does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I also think, you know, if people say, I wish I could be more intuitive, well, like we said in the beginning of the show, well, you can. You know, there's very simple exercises that can help your intuition grow, and for you to learn to listen to that voice. And there's, you know, there's so many books written about that. There's so many exercises for that. So you can also choose to make that an important part of your life. And if maybe that won't be a priority for every single person, you know, it's not to say that, you know, the job you have is right for the next person. I think that God works through people in different ways, and some people go through life doing amazing things and they don't feel particularly intuitive, but somehow they're still driven by an amazing sense of compassion and kindness. You know, there are certainly times when I have felt like being highly intuitive was like a little disturbing. You know, I might sort of get messages about people and see things that, it's like, what am I supposed to do with that? And I remember early on, I had a teacher, this was in my early 20s, and he said, well, if you get messages like that, you can't tell people unless they ask you. You just have to hold it to yourself. And it was like, okay, well, why am I getting the message then if I'm not supposed to share it? And he said, you know, and then he came back on second thought, I think they have to ask you 3 times. And so that was frustrating for me, I remember, in my younger years, to just feel like, hey, I'm seeing all this stuff, but, you know, what am I supposed to do with it?
I remember hearing that from someone in her class, that they would get all this information. I've had the same issue. And they said, well, what do you do with all of it? Well, some of it you just kind of go, okay, I guess I don't need to do anything with that. And then if you're led somewhere, or they ask for it, or they ask permission, or that's when you give it. You know, I mean, sometimes too, I've had to step back and go, okay, whoa, why did they tell me that? I don't need to know about that. And then, you know, sometimes what you find later is you needed to know it, obviously, later on to help them with something else. So you never know. It's always a very interesting, and it can be very disturbing at times, too, because you don't know how to handle it, or you don't know why that vision's coming or why you're seeing this. So very excellent point.
Yeah. And also I think that people, all of us, I think that's just part of human nature, to have these underdeveloped sort of dark sides, you know, sides that are less than fantastic. The dark side of the light chases, to use Debbie Ford's, I don't know if you know her work, but that there's these underdeveloped sides. And if you see that clearly in someone else, and you're always going to see it more clearly in someone else than in yourself, but you can just know that you have it too. But when you see that, but it's not what the person is presenting, it's almost like, do you respond to, you know, all the layers of the person, or do you respond to what they're presenting and wishing to give you? And that's a very delicate balance that has to be, you know, the only way I think that you can really successfully hope to handle that is just to be so loving and compassionate. You know, sometimes if I feel judgmental towards someone, I try to picture them as they're 4 or 5 years old and just struggling with something. And then compassion is back in place. You know, then the judgment falls away, because a little small child who's struggling with something, would you judge them? Would you be harsh on them? You know, I wouldn't. So,
and you wouldn't be, and that's all of us. We're all children that are looking for, you know, that way, or maybe we're lost or what have you. That's a very good point.
Little children grown tall. And it's true on
Absolutely.
Many levels, like we talked about in the beginning, the level of sensitivity. We think that we grow a little tougher with age, and we do to some extent, but at the core of our heart, we still feel things as acutely as we did when we were little kids. And we should just remember that. And I think that's extremely important to remember that one little harsh word. You may just have ruined somebody's day or really cast a little bit of a pall on their day. And that's probably not what any of us wishes to do to someone else. So what did I think Dalai Lama has a quote, something to the extent of simply be kinder. If you do nothing else, just be kinder. And that's a good place
Absolutely.
To start.
Absolutely. It's a very good place to start. And, you know, we encounter people for a reason, and they mirror things to us so even we can see what we're doing and how we're living our lives and how we can help them and ourselves. And, you know, it's quite a remarkable thing that you've really brought to the table here. And, you know, your teaching is just so good. Everybody, you can find Maria at mariatoso.com. We do have some callers. Do you want to take a few callers?
Yeah, let's do that. I got about 5 more minutes before I have to run in and teach.
Okay, because I know you were really excited to make some points today, and I know these viewers needed to hear it. So let's get some one questions taken real quick. Okay, our first person who has been waiting is looks like a Skype caller. They're 111. You're on the air with Amanda and
Hi.
Maria. How are you?
Good.
How can we help you?
Well, I was wondering if you can see for me, I just have one question, on the employment horizon, if you see me landing a job.
I'm going to ask you this. Are you looking for work where your passion lies? Or are you looking for work where your skills lie? And do those two combine?
A little bit of
are
both.
You
A little bit of
little
both.
A little bit of both. Okay, I would say go with your passion.
Mm-hmm.
I would say scratch from the list the jobs that are just like, I really should get this job, because you're done being 8 hours in a place that doesn't, I think that's not going to be good for your health. So if you could look at your list and your options out there and simply say, where would I like to spend 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day? And let it build from there, even if it's at a slightly different pay rate than what you had in mind, just to be happy where you are. I think it's really time for you to be happy where you are, and then it's going to build from there, because it can't not once your fire is behind it. Does that make sense?
It does.
What do you say, Amanda?
I'm feeling the same way, that you need to really look at your heart and your passion with things, that that's really going to help you to get where you want to go, and that's going to, you know, lead you on your pathway. That's where you're going to find the peace and happiness, is doing that, and I'm going to agree 100% that you should do that. So that's what I have for you as well.
And I just want to add this. I feel like what would make you happy right now, if you were to put that into a spreadsheet and just sort of look at that, it might at first look like, well, that just doesn't work. I'm not going to be able to pay the bills if I do that. I think that you will. I really think that you are walking into a chapter where you're going to be a bit of a leader in the field that you love.
Okay, do you see it coming soon?
I think you already kind of know where you want to be. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too. You already know.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Blessings.
Have a good
okay.
day. Okay.
We have another caller in here, and her area code is 314-504. You're on with Amanda and Maria. How are you? Hello, 314-504. Are you there? Okay, it looks like they've called in on another line, so we'll take this last caller here. 314-878. Hi, you're on with Amanda and Maria. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Amanda. I have a quick question. A lot of times my emotions gyrate, and sometimes I get these like mild depressions. So what can I do to kind of get rid of those feelings and to have less of them?
Right away. I feel like there are things in your diet that will set that off, like caffeine or sugar or something like that, that you can start really noticing what increases that, and that more produce, greens and vegetables, that sort of thing. And that's seems so trivial, but I really feel like you have almost a little bit of a sensitivity to too much sugar. That you're a little bit on a roller coaster emotionally, so that there is definitely some dietary stuff that would help you. I also wonder if you're getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
Do you stay up really late?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. I will tell you this. The sleep that you can get between 10 p.m. and midnight, that's the golden sleep. And
okay.
I know that's hard for most people, and I will tell you why that is, because electric light, especially from, like, iPads and iPhones and, you know, the kind of devices that are really close to your eyes, you'll notice, and just before you make a change, just start noticing how your eyes and your brain feel when you close your eyes after being on a device for a while late at night. It's like your eyes and your brain can't go to sleep. So you might, even after turning everything off, you can't turn your, the brain and the eyes won't really turn off for another hour maybe.
Hmm.
And that's a golden sleep right there. So if you were to just try as an experiment to start lowering the lights in your whole house around 9:30, say, you know, just have as few lights as possible on and don't be on any devices, and even turning off your Wi-Fi if you have that. So then the natural melatonin in the brain and the natural urge to retire and get sleepy will just happen, and you will start moving into a pattern where you can be asleep by 10 and then wake up by yourself without an alarm clock in the morning, and it will go faster than you think. You should really start paying attention to how lights and, you know, devices of different kinds affect your ability to relax your brain.
Okay, and one other thing, when you talk about sugar, if I have fruit, is that okay, or are you just talking about processed sugar?
No, I think fruit is fine myself.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that's what's it's what I'm talking about more is if you feel tired and low energy and you go for sugar and caffeine, that's where the roller coaster kind of starts. Like you're trying to jump start yourself, but what was really missing was the solid sleep, and then and then with these other foods, trying to give yourself the energy that should have been restored in sleep. So it's sort of like this vicious cycle, but it's pretty for you to reset, I feel like.
Okay, that's good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right.
Thank you.
Amanda.
Okay, Maria, those were our only two
calls.
I have to
go.
I bet you got to go. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for coming on.
All right. Love you. Bye.
All right. Blessings. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a really quick commercial break and then come back. You're listening to WGGM Radio. That was Maria Toso. You can find her at MariaToso.com, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
Our program is being brought to you by ShotNet Web Hosting, reliable web hosting for everyone. Feature rich, reliable, and affordable. Create your own site in minutes with ShotNet's easy-to-use site designer. Monthly plans available that fit any budget. Visit shot-net.com. That's shot-net.com. We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets. and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I'm wide awake. I'm wide awake. I'm wide awake. Yeah, I was in the dark. I was falling hard with an open heart. I'm wide awake. How did I?
all the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind. Every dream that reaches out to find the love begins. Every word of every story, every star in every sky, every corner of creation lives to testify. Every breath I take, we'll give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love. From the mountains to the valleys, from the river to the sea, every hand that reaches out, every hand
I grew, my attention turned to my family with wings. Time made me jaded, my memory faded. I seldom remembered my dream. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels, higher than the trees, much higher than the clouds. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels flying once upon a time. When I'm an old woman preparing for my rest, will I see my family of angels from the past? Smiling faces tell me that I'll not be alone. With graces beckoning, they'll come to take me home. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels, higher than the trees, much higher than the clouds. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels flying once upon a time, angels flying once upon a time, I used to fly with angels.
Holy Spirit, be my
healing has happened.
Every need is fulfilled.
See you next Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time with Messages of Light. I've been your host today, Amanda Dowell. Have a great day, everybody.
I'm wide awake.